Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It was a happy crowd this morning. That's good. And a lot of energy walked out of here a few minutes ago. Those little boys and girls. They have energy, don't they? And what a blessing. I'm so glad they're having their service. We're going to have ours here. I have tried to write some music through the years. And, it's 3 years ago now in August that I began trying to write a song for my funeral. I said, wow. Anything we know about Brother Fox? Well, we all need to be ready to go. And it'll be here before you know it. And we don't know when we'll pass away. But I've recorded already my testimony for my funeral. I want folks to, when they come, to know that I've received Christ as my Savior. That makes all the difference at a funeral, you know.
Amen.
Now, I'm not planning on preaching my own funeral, but I did want to testify. And I've written a song entitled Safely Home. One of these days, they're going to make the announcement, Brother Fox is dead. Well, I'll actually be safely home. Every day I am on my way to a mansion chapter 14. You know, there's great lessons in every page, on every page of the Bible.
Amen.
And we're going to look at an Old Testament passage this morning. I've been praying about what to look at. If you look at the Bible, you are looking at the right place. What a good crowd, preacher. The building's full. And we're thrilled. You hadn't heard about the snow, had you? You just came on. Yeah. And so I'm going to preach real short. All those preachers think we preach real short, don't we? I've never preached a long sermon. I've preached 3-hour sermons, but they're never long. Don't get nervous. I preach the longest when I don't have notes. Praise God, I've got notes today. When I preach by memory, I remember a lot. It helps me preach shorter to have the notes. I've had such a good time here this morning. I've been checking on my wife. I was texting a little bit to make sure she's okay. She's in her third week now. Tomorrow make 3 weeks since COVID pneumonia hit. And my wife already had elevated risk.
And so we've been concerned about all these things, you know, prudent, and it's in the hands of the Lord. When it's out of your hands, it's in God's hands. And so we've been careful all along, but she got it. And she had it back in 2020 when it was first here, but got it again, and the new variant perhaps or whatever. It's been bad. She was in a fog for 2 weeks, in and out of the hospital and so forth. Well, this past week, we were out of the hospital, but had to go back Friday and spend another day there in the hospital. We've got a wonderful doctor. We have an absolute wonderful doctor. You talk about these God and Country rallies. Last year, at one of our God and Country rallies right here in Virginia, I led a doctor to Christ. She's now my wife's doctor. It pays to soul win, brother. And she's a terrific doctor. I mean, terrific. And we thank the Lord. And when did doctors last make house calls? Our doctor right away said, I want to come see you. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? She calls or Zooms or something every day with us to see how Renee is doing. And so many people, so concerned and so helpful in this situation. Because I'll tell you, when God's people finds out there's a need or whatever, God's people just rise to the occasion. And amazing. And I've seen that through all the years. I've had the opportunity to be part of helping others. We had a church in West Virginia, had a flood of 1,000 years, they called it. $3 million in damage and all that sort of thing. I began, for the first time ever, using Facebook Live to help that church 5 years ago now. And we built a little website overnight. And God's people across the country gave over $700,000. Amen. Then people began giving buses because they learned that they have a bus ministry of 8 buses. 7 of them were destroyed. Well, they got given buses. And a friend of mine owns sound system company. He learned about their needs. He said, I'll just give them a sound system. That's pretty nice. And God said, what are you going to give? We'll give some hymnals. You know, we just, all of us give them. And the church is debt-free at this point. They ultimately went about $1.2 million in debt. But they have a Christian school. And one of their kids graduated, 35 years ago, graduated from their Christian school, made it big in business, sold his business. They said, what are you going to do with all these millions and millions and millions of dollars? He said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to wire that church $1.25 million, pay that building off. Pays to have Christian school, I guess. You know? Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. I preached there just a week or two or three or four. It's kind of a blur. It had to be a while ago because I canceled the last several meetings. I've never done that, but my wife needed me. And I've been by her side, and she wanted me to be right here. I told her a little while ago, there's a man sitting in this room that my father-in-law, her dad, led to Christ 15 years ago. I did some calculating. My father-in-law would have been 69 years old at that point. My father-in-law is with the Lord now. When I told her that her dad, at age 69, had led a gentleman in this auditorium this morning to Christ, it made my wife's morning. You know, you want your dad to be a soul winner, don't you? Should every man try to be a soul winner? Well, of course. Every Christian man ought to be trying to win folk to Christ. And that's what the Christian life's all about, worshiping God and spreading the gospel. And that's wonderful. You have these CDs out there. Several of you have already gotten some. These for children. You know, we're really, really trying to reach the children of America. Somebody's going to reach them. It ought to be the church. Amen. Amen. They've been reached with a lot of foolishness. Even this past week, I saw some things have been exposed to our children in public schools in America. And I'm ashamed of Virginia. I'm ashamed that kind of debauchery would go on in our schools in Virginia. I've been fighting this for some time. We all better fight. Do you know that in Virginia, the public schools, in Virginia public schools, 92% of Virginia public school children didn't go to church one time last year. 8% of public school children went to church at least one time last year. Tragic, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, I'm talking to any church Wesleyan Church, Methodist Church, Nazarene Church, Catholic Church, Baptist Church. Only 8% went to any church. Should boys and girls go to church? Why, yeah. Our buddy Chad Collins, you saw the other night, he said he had a drug problem as a boy. He got drugged to church, man. Drugged the youth rally. He just drug all around. His dad drug him, man. Yeah, we need that kind of drug problem, don't we? And daddy's going to be leading the way to church. And so we're trying to reach the children with the Bible. These are scripture put to music. And then we've got Bible stories out there. And that the newest CD out there is entitled Safely Home. And it's got all 30 songs that's in this book. Oh, there's two CDs in this one, and they're any size donation. There's lots of CDs out there. If it's got a banjo and guitar on the front, it's probably got banjo and guitar on the inside, okay? If it's got four guys on the front, it's probably a men's quartet. I'm trying to help you. And Sister Beth is going to help me out there. The CDs are any size donation, cash, or if you write a check, do not write it to Beth. I don't know what kind of program she might be on, you know, raising funds for different things. But if you would write a check to Bible Truth Music, and it's whatever you want to give at BTM. A lot of music companies have closed. The largest church music publisher in America for many years now has been a place called Brentwood Benson, and they closed. They closed in December. Lorenz was another large company publishing church music. They closed. There's many that have closed because of this pandemic and so forth. A lot of disruptions. Even buying bacon is harder these days, you know? And I'm into bacon. My wife's doctor said, now, she needs to eat bacon, and she started naming all that. I said, hold it. I said, I got stuck on bacon. Say that again. How many of you men like bacon? I'm in that category, yeah. I like it. All the men just confess it all our sin, man. Bacon, we like it. But Pastor, thank you for letting me come. And Holly Hills Baptist Church, you just stay at it. Keep your head to the plow. Don't look back. Let's just keep plowing on. With the Lord's work, it's always onward. Amen. Always onward with the Lord's work. We had a wonderful God and Country rally this past Thursday that your pastor was at. May 9, 10, and 11, we'll have 8 more of these God and Country rallies, different places in Virginia. We're trying to get Virginia back to God. Amen. Now, we are involved in getting Christians registered to vote. Last year, we registered 77,000 church folk. Wow. In Virginia? Was that nationwide? Nationwide is 1 million. Nationwide, 1 million. It's documented fact. I don't live in hyperbole. I like documented facts that I can produce for you. 77,000 of our church members. Now, maybe you're sitting here not registered to vote. Then get registered, would you? You can't vote if you're not registered. You're not supposed to be able to vote if you're not registered. You need to be alive to vote. Would you agree with that? No. We've heard about a lot of dead folk voting. That's where we recruited 1,300 church members to be poll watchers. Over 100 became sworn election officers, or at least applied to be sworn election officers. And it's time for us to get involved in everything. Why would you do this, Brother Fox? I had one good preacher say to me last year, he said, why are you no longer an evangelist? No longer an evangelist? I hadn't heard that. He said, why are you doing all these God and country things? I said, sir, this is still all about the gospel. And I began to tell him of different politicians that I witnessed to and 3 politicians that I led to Christ myself last year. And I began telling him about the people who were saved in our meetings. And it's all about the gospel. Everything we do has got to be harnessed to 2 things. Worshiping God and glorifying God. And number 2, the furtherance of the gospel. Everything. And it's because there's an American flag over here. We're not putting America above God. God's way above country. God and country, they're not on the same plane. No, God's far above country. But I do love my country, but I love every country in the world. I don't love communist regimes. I don't like the government program at all. But the Chinese people, I've been to China. I love the Chinese. I don't hate the Chinese. I don't want you to hate the Chinese. I want you to hate anybody. I want you to love people, but love them enough to give them the gospel and do all you can. Do all you can. Well, let's get in the Bible. You ready?
Amen.
Here it comes. Ready or not, here it comes. Please forgive me if I'm a little wound up. I just am wound up. I don't know. I'm so tired. I'm either going to fall asleep here or be wound up. So I'm going with wound up. All right? Because I wrote the other day on my Facebook wall, I said, Renee is exhausted. I said, now I have joined her in that exhaustion. I'm pretty tired myself. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came into Joshua in Gilgal. This is Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him. Now here's what Caleb said to God's appointed leader, Joshua. They're old men now. And the old soldier, Caleb, says this to Joshua. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now Caleb's saying this to Joshua, verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that their cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then shall I be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Wow, that's quite a little speech there, Caleb. How did Joshua respond to that? Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was, I shouldn't even try to read verse 15 because he's a big name, should I? Which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Yeah. Amazing passage, isn't it? People who say the Bible is boring, they've never read it. Wow, what a dramatic part of God's Word we see here. I've got three little points today in the sermon. 3 points. And I'm rather amazed at point one. I'm a little stunned at point one. Because point one is Caleb's age. You mean the age of this man? If you're only going to have 3 points, his age is one of the points? Yeah. I read through, and in preparing this sermon, I read through this passage 50 to 75 times, trying to get the truth of this passage. Let me give you a little idea. When you read the Bible, don't read it just for facts. Read it for the truth. Gain the truth. By the truth, the scripture says. By the way, truth's falling in the streets in Virginia. We need the truth. There's one book that'll tell you the truth at all times. That's this book.
Amen.
On that internet, you better be careful. When people are talking, better be careful. They may or may not be telling the truth. They may or may not be right. This book is right.
Amen.
And his age. Pretty amazing. 85 years old. I saw my dad a little bit yesterday. I stopped by there. And my dad is 87 years old. My mom is 89 years old. My mom used to be shy about her age. She wants people to know how old she was. She didn't want to know. But now she wants everybody to know. Hey, I'm almost 90. I mean, she's down flaking a little bit, you know. I'll tell you, next presidential election, I'm going to vote. She's talking about being 92 and voting. I mean, you know, she's got aspirations. I still have my driver's license. She does. She never drives, but she got those driver's licenses, and she's happy about that. And my dad, 87. My dad has a hard time standing up today. My dad's the best Christian I know. When he got everything right with God, brother, he got it right with God. And he walks with God. He's 87. Well, this man's 85 years old. Caleb, 85 years old. It's amazing to get to live to be 85. It's a great blessing to even get to be there. I was reading Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He's a famous American. He was a poet. And he and Nathaniel Hawthorne graduated college together. And so Longfellow, Hawthorne, they were in this college. They graduated together in 1825. And on the occasion of their 50th class graduation, they had a reunion. And they said, hey, Mr. Longfellow, the class said, why don't you write us a poem for that occasion? I mean, it's pretty significant that we're still alive after graduating college 50 years later. Why don't you write us a little poem, sir? You're such a great poet. And so he did. He wrote a pretty famous poem in his day entitled Moratore Salamutis. I can only say that one time a day. You know, I'm done. You know, these big words. That's a Latin expression basically meaning we who are about to die salute the next group. You know, these were old men and older men. And so he writes this little poem. But why, you ask me, should this tale be told to men grown old or who are growing old? It is too late, some would say. But nothing is too late till the tired heart shall cease to palpitate. I've never gotten the word palpitate into a poem, but this man is good, isn't he? And it's rather long. I'm not going to read all of it, but he talks about Cato learning Greek, and he talks about older men who got things done with their lives. Kind of like old Caleb here. 85 years old, he's still serving God. In fact, with a little temerity, I put together a little list. Galileo, that incomparable scientist, he discovered the libration of the moon when he was 75 years old. That great philosopher, Kant, K-A-N-T, he wrote several of his greatest works when he was 74. Verdi, the opera composer. Opera, yeah, opera. Nessun dorma, tu purio princi. You can't understand one word of that stuff. Now, maybe you love opera, but man, that's not English. That's not Virginian. But this man wrote operas. And Verdi, he wrote his most famous opera when he was 80 years old. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Supreme Court judge, when he's 92. Tennyson wrote Crossing the Bar when he's 83. Titian, that incomparable painter, he wrote, he painted his most famous painting when he's 98. Colonel Sanders. Now we're talking. Yeah. He was in his mid to late 60s when he got that franchise going. Pretty amazing. Just because we got a little age on us doesn't mean we can't keep serving God. Amen. This man right here, Caleb's 85. And he is still serving God. He is still letting his light shine. Let me tell you something. It's not just how you start the counts. It's how you finish the counts too. Man, a Christian is supposed to serve all life long, right to the end, keeping your hand in mouth. Look, when we get older, we can't do physically some things that we used to do. My dad became the bus mechanic at his church. He can't do that now. He still gives to the bus ministry, though. He still gives to the cause of Christ. He can't work on those buses. He can barely stand. But he's still doing what he can. And I want us all life long to keep doing what we can. The best time to get started, young people in this room, the best time to get started serving God is when you're young. Caleb didn't just serve God when he was old. He got serving God when he was young. And all life long, he wanted to serve the Lord right to the end. And it's wonderful. Number one in this little sermon today, this little message today. Number one, Caleb's age. He was 85 years old, and he's still a soldier. I mean, at 40 years old, he went and spied out the land. We'll talk about that in a little bit. At 40 years, he gets to wander in the wilderness. For 5 years now, he's been helping conquer the land. And here he is, 85 years old, and still serving God. Number one, Caleb's age. Number two, Caleb's heritage. Caleb's heritage. I want you to notice something. When I started reading this so many times, preachers, when I noticed this, I mean, I've read this passage since I was a teenager, but I hadn't noticed something. I want you to help me in verse 6. When I pause, I want you to say the next word. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the... Oh, he is a Kenizzite. Well, that's interesting. And in the past, I've just read that and went right on. Finally, on one of those 50 or 75 times through there, I thought, I wonder what a Kenizzite is. I'm 58 years old. I've been saved for 50 years. I should have already known what a Kenizzite was, but I hadn't really thought about it. And maybe you haven't thought about it. A Kenizzite. That's interesting. How about that? Caleb's a Kenizzite. What is a Kenizzite? You know, over here is the land of Canaan. Moses, over here in the land of Egypt, Moses born as a little boy. And you know the story, the account, and so forth. He becomes God's leader. He brings them out after Pharaoh hardens his heart all time after time after time. And then the Passover and all that takes place. And the death of the firstborn. And Moses is going to bring them over here to the promised land. This land has been promised to the people of Israel. They're over here because of their sin. Sin has consequences. God judges nations. There's four basic ways that God judges nations. Brother Fox, you think God's going to judge America? God's judgment's already here, friends. It's already here. It's not in full force. God is still merciful to us. But brother, it could change rapidly. We better get right with God. Amen. They're over there in bondage, in slavery, taken over, in slavery. But now it's time to come out and go to the promised land. Oh, the land of Canaan. Yeah, the Canaanites. Canaanites. Yeah, the Canaanites. Yeah. Who are the Canaanites? Well, that's the name of the big demographic of people, the Canaanites. But over there, there's the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the electric lights, the termites. There's all kind of ites over there. You know what I'm saying? And somewhere along the way, there's this group called the Kenizzites, somehow related to Esau. You studied the Bible, the book of Genesis and so forth. Hey, wait just a minute. Wait a minute. Hey, this man Caleb is not a Jew. He is a Kenizzite. He's not a Hebrew man. Wait a minute. He looks like he's the prince of Judah. You know, Israel got 12 tribes. And then there's this one tribe called Judah, a pretty significant tribe. And it looks like their leader is this man, Caleb. He's their leader. And you mean he's not even a Jew? He's not a Jew. He's a Kenizzite. You mean he's got a pagan background? Yeah. You mean he's got a terrorist background? Yeah. You mean his people have been steeped in false religion? Yes. Bad background. His heritage is the wrong heritage. Well, then how in the world is he a leader in Israel? Would you like to know? I'm going to tell you how. He got converted in. When I learned that truth, I began to rejoice. He's a convert. I said, hallelujah, I got something in common with you, Caleb. I'm a convert too. Amen. Yes, our background, our family's background, not good. Not good. But in 1972, by the grace of God, we'd moved back to Virginia. I was born in Virginia, moved away by the 8-year-old age, and back in Virginia. And a church just like this came out knocking doors and said, you got to come to the crusade. And they brought a little boy, 8-year-old boy, who had been stealing from the store. I was good at it. I'd been taught how to do all that. They brought the little thief to the meeting. And they got this book out. First sermon I ever heard in my life was a sermon on hell. The only reliable information about hell is this book. It will make up all kind of foolish stories about hell. Hell is a real place. Those who die rejecting Christ as Savior, go in there. Brother Fox, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to keep people from going to hell. Our church is trying to keep people from going to hell. And by the grace of God, I got converted into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad. How about y'all? I'm a convert. This man was a convert. His background was rather spurious. That legacy, not that good. It doesn't matter your background. It matters going forward with the Lord. This man sold out to God. Yes, he did become a leader in Israel. Came time to spy out the land. Moses said, let's send in 12 spies. Let's send our best man from every tribe. Hey, Judah, who are you going to send? We're going to send our best man, Caleb. He's not a Jew. He's already proven himself, though, that he loves God. He's wholly following God. They sent those 12 spies in. 12 spies came out, all unified in part of their report. They all 12 came back and said, this is a great land. It is great. Look at this cluster of grapes. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Takes a couple of men to carry a cluster of grapes from that place over there. That's a great place as far as grapes. Land full of milk and honey. Ooh, it's wonderful. And then 10 spies said, but it cannot be done. It cannot be done. It is impossible. Wait a minute. Didn't God promise it to them? With God, all things are possible. Remember, Jesus walked by that little paralyzed man and said, arise and walk. Lord Jesus, haven't you heard that a paralyzed man, it's impossible for him to walk? That day that little paralyzed man walked, didn't he? So with God, all things are possible. God says, go take the land. This is your land. I'm giving it to you. 10 spies came out. I reckon all 10 of them were Jews. Said, it's impossible. There's 2 spies out of 12. 2. Joshua. Joshua, it's the battle of Jericho. Jericho, long time ago. Joshua, it's the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Well, you can talk about your men of Gideon. You can talk about your men of Saul. They ain't none like good old Joshua and the battle of Jericho. Oh, Joshua, I like that song. You may not like it, but I like it, okay? I like Joshua. The Bible says Joshua left nothing undone that God commanded. That's an amazing statement. Joshua believed God. Joshua, it can be done. We can take that land. God promised it. Caleb said, I agree with that. It can be done. He's not even a Jew, but he believes God. Whatever your background was, listen, get your eyes on the Lord. Quit staring at all the problems at all times, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen to that. Yeah. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, church. And this man, Caleb, at his age, he's now 85 years old, but he's still serving God. His background, yeah, it's rather bad. He's a Kenizzite. He's not even a Jew, but he converts in and God is using him. And then our last little point today. I want you to see this old soldier's request. He turns in his requisition. Here it is in chapter 14, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Hey, Joshua, Moses said I could have that mountain. Now, I wandered out there in the wilderness for 40 years, and I've been battling alongside of all the rest of you fellas for 5 years, but it's time now I'd like to make my request. I want my mountain. You see my mountain over there, Joshua? Moses said I could have it, and I'm putting in my formal request now. I want my mountain. Point number three is Caleb's request. What's his request? Give me this mountain. Well, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. You want your mountain, do you? Yeah. And verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Hebron for inheritance. Caleb, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Captain Joshua. Thank you. You want to know how you get your gift there, Mr. Caleb? How do I get my gift? Well, it's still filled with giants over there. They still have walls around and fences around. There's still killers there. Caleb, all you got to do is go over there and take it away from them, and it's yours. Uh-huh. Well, what kind of gift is that? Last year on July the 4th, well, let me back up. The town of DeBary, Florida, the leaders of the town, the mayor and the city council, the leaders of DeBary, Florida, a little town of 6,000, they said, you know what? July the 4th is on a Sunday this year. Last year, July the 4th was on Sunday. And the leader of that town said, hey, we ought to do something special. It's a Sunday. It's the birthday of our country. We ought to do something special. And they went over to Grace Baptist Church to Pastor Jake Samples. I said, Pastor Samples, July the 4th is on Sunday this year. He goes, oh, yeah, that's right. Town leader said, Pastor Samples, would you do something special for our town? Well, what would you like? Would you do a citywide service for all the boys and girls in our town? What preacher wouldn't say yes to that? He said, yes, we will. Absolutely. Now it's good weather, Pastor Samples. We want to do it out there in the park. But just design whatever kind of service. We'll help promote it and all that. But let's have a service for everybody. But in particular, aim for the boys and girls. And Pastor Samples, first time he's ever been a pastor, been pastoring for about 3 years at this point, he said, absolutely, we'll do it. And he got his phone out and called me and said, hey, Brother Fox, guess what they've done? He told me about it. He said, Brother Fox, how do I do this? I said, well, we've got to raise some money. We've got to give away some bicycles. We've got to have some games for the children. We're going to have things for children. And we gave away that day 2,000 of these children's CDs to 2,000 children. Are you serious? Yeah. It's a big deal, man. We had all kind of games. We had Johnny Appleseed Toss. Yeah. What was that? Looked a lot like cornhole. You know what I'm saying? We put another name on it, Americana kind of name. And the George Washington Toss. You know, tossing that coin across the water. And the gospel was preached, the choir sang, the orchestra played, all that took place. But we gave the children lots of gifts, but we gave all of them a Bible song for kids. Okay. Those kids, all they had to do is they just had to reach out and take it. Now, Caleb here, you got to actually go over there and take that place. Yeah, got to go over there and take it. They're still wanting to kill you over there, Caleb. They know about you. They would like to kill you. You'd be a nice trophy, man. You leader of Israel. It'd be wonderful to kill you. So that's not much of a gift, you might say. No. Hey, are you listening? If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
This is the way God works. See, salvation, completely free. Completely free to get saved. Did it cost you to get saved? Not you. It didn't cost you anything. All you did is surrender to the Lord. Lord, I'd like to be saved. Thief on the cross. I preached about him last night. I was preaching online to a group of people, and I preached about the thief on the cross. I titled the sermon, Follow a Thief to Heaven. Yeah. The old thief on the cross. Very unusual prayer. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. that man didn't do a whole lot of tithing and faith promise giving, didn't get baptized, all that. But he got to go to heaven. So getting saved is completely free. Absolutely. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Serving God will cost you. Did you know that? It'll cost you to serve God. What will it cost you? Well, it says about the disciples. It says this about the disciples. They forsook all. Those fishermen, the family business was fishing. They left it behind. All the disciples died a martyr's death. You know that? John the Beloved, they boiled him in oil, but he survived. So they put him over there on the Isle of Patmos, all by himself. Wasn't by himself. The Lord's still with him. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, Caleb, if you want your gift, it's going to cost you, man. You're going to go over there and take it. You know what Caleb does? He goes over there and takes it. So his background was terrible. But all those kids and those grandkids and those great-grandkids, they were all blessed. They were all helped. Because there's an old soldier that just kept serving God. Okay, when you preach the Bible, there should be some calls to action. I'm going to have one giant call to action this morning. Call them first to the men. Men, what is it that you want? Caleb knew exactly what he wanted. I want my mountain. Hey, Joshua, I want my mountain. Give me this mountain. Men, what is it that you want? Maybe it's Lord. Won't you give me my family for Christ? Lord, would you give me my family? Maybe some of the men are like, Lord, give me my co-workers for Christ. God, I've been trying to win them. Oh, God, would you give me my co-workers? Might be the men of this church saying, oh, God, give us our city for Christ. I want everybody to stand. And all the men that want to come and stand up here and ask God for something, I want you to come right now. All the men, it's not open for ladies and girls right now, but all the men, right now, all the men that want to come up and stand up front and ask God for something, want you to come right now. Would you do that? Who's going to be first? Come on, men. Yes, who else wants to come and ask God for something? I want our pianists to get in place and find that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Yeah, but what other men want to come and ask God for something? Just come up and ask for the Lord for something. Yes, sir. God bless you. God bless you. I know we're kind of crowded and all that stuff, and we're trying to be careful, but all the men that want to, would you not come up and ask God? Don't you have something you'd like to ask God for? Yeah, come on. Come on, that's right. Come on, that's right, come on. Yeah, a little unusual this morning. Yeah, come on. What do you want to ask God for? Moses had made a promise to Caleb, and Caleb said, I'd like to get the promise fulfilled, and whenever you're ready to play, just quietly good play along. And these men are going to ask the Lord for some things. I don't know what they want to ask for. I hope it's something noble and something right. God, would you send revival to our church? God, would you send an awakening to our state? God, would you help us to go forward in this or in that? I hope there's some earnest prayer going on. Ladies, can you pray? Well, of course, but I want you to pray from your seats. From where you are, ladies, pray, would you? Everybody in the sound of this, my voice here, hearing me, pray. Now, as a Christian, come and ask God for things. With heads bowed, you know for sure you are a Christian. You know you've received Christ as your Savior. You're positive you died today, you'd go to heaven. I mean, you can raise a hand and say, Brother Fox, I know that. God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone here that would say, Brother Fox, I'm not saved, but I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior today. I want to be a Christian. I'd like to be one of those converts. Is there someone here today who said, Brother Fox, I want to receive Christ today. Would you slip a hand up and let me see that you want to receive Christ? Let the Lord see it. have of you, God has spoken to your heart this morning. Would you slip a hand? Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Our preacher's going to come in a moment. He's going to continue talking to us. And I want you to listen to our pastor as he talks to us. You mind the Lord, would you please? Pastor.